Let me ask you something. If you can go back in time, knowing everything you know right now, what would you tell your younger self as a project manager? Would you warn your younger self about the mistakes that almost, let's be frank, derailed your career? Or would you show them how to turn those setbacks into opportunities for growth? In today's episode, I'm going to share 8 crucial lessons that I wish, and I do mean I wish, I could have told my younger self. P.S. These are just not theories. This is real life. That if you're thinking of getting into this thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with, called project management, or you're just starting with less than 3 years of experience, then this is for you. Do you mind if I share a story with you? You know, when I was thinking about that question, if I could go back and tell myself, my younger self, about project management and being a project manager, I always think about the trials and tribulations. I think about how I had to figure my way through certain situations, and sometimes I couldn't even see myself or see my way clear. I know this may sound ironic, family, but it was that day when I picked up that book, Think and Grow Rich. My mentor introduced me to the book, and I'll be frank with you, it sat there for weeks, sometimes even months. But one day I got sick and tired of being sick and tired, so I picked up the book and I continued to read chapter after chapter. And then, as you guys know my story, then I also took a personality test, and they talked about some of the job opportunities that may be a good fit for me. So as I started navigating down this path of project management, some of the twists and turns that I couldn't even expect was happening to me. And you start falling into that mindset of, why me? Why did this have to happen to me? And so I understood, or let me be honest, because see, that wouldn't be telling the truth. I understand now that the reason I had to go down that path was to help me become a better individual, as well as a better project manager in this thing called project management. So in today's episode, this is probably one of those episodes that is very dear to me, because I know there are a lot of people out there that are thinking about getting in this thing called project management. And one of the first things that I really truly believe that would have helped me, which is point number one, is hired a project manager mentor outside of the organization. As I stated to you before, I already had the mindset and the professional mindset, because I was working with one of my mentors. And because I had that, I was somewhat equipped, but I wasn't fully equipped. So what I wish I would have done is hired someone that was in the field of project management that was outside of the organization. Yeah, I had people that were giving me guidance, and project managers that were giving me guidance that maybe was, you know, 5-7 years ahead of me. But having someone outside the organization, I really truly felt there would have been a more of a non-biased approach, because they don't want to give you all of their secrets. And when you hire someone, you're hiring them for their expertise. Here's my professional insight. Having someone that's been where you are or trying to go provide more insights on the experience you may be faced with and how to handle them. See, a lot of times you're going to be faced with experiences, and if you had a mentor to guide you of how to handle them, it would take your project management to another level, being a project manager to another level. Point number two, this was big for me. Understand that you can't please everyone. Boy, oh boy. Trying to satisfy everyone, every stakeholder, often leads to project inefficiency, even your project team. What I realized in this whole thing was that I was going in and I had the cape. I had every, you know, I'm trying to be Superman and Clark Kent at the same time. And I realized that everyone, you just can't please everyone. There, you're going to have people that are going to be frustrated about, why are we even doing this project? They're not going to show up to the meetings and blame you and throw you under the bus, et cetera. I'm going to even tell a story here. I remember when I really, really first truly understood this particular point, and it actually happened to me again, where, well, not again, it's happened over and over in my career, but two two reasons why I remember this the most was when there was a, I was reaching out to one of the stakeholders, and keep in mind, he and I exchanged emails or we were leveraging Slack at this time, conversations through Slack, whether I was in a meeting, offline, out of office, whatever. And what ended up happening is I tried to reach out to him and I didn't even know he was out of office. And one thing led to another and it just turned into this whole situation that could have been nipped in the bud. And if I would have just sat back and said, hey, you know what, I'm going to respect this gentleman or this person's time and we'll just move forward from there. And I learned from the professional insight was really, I should have been focused on the project objectives rather than trying to make everyone happy. See, it's better to deliver a successful project than one that's watered down by compromise. And over time, you find yourself, if you don't nip it in the bud really fast, it's, you're trying to always compromise and please and get everybody to appreciate and be on the same page. It's not possible. So when I finally let that go, I was able to move forward. So that back and forth thing, I'm not going to do the back and forth thing with you. I'm going to tell you, this is what it is. If you want to keep talking, that's fine. But this is where we stand. If this is not going to work for you, then we need to find another resource to get on the project that can assist us. Point number three, develop a personal brand the day I chose project management profession. You know, one of the things I always share with you guys, if you're thinking about getting it in project management, is creating a personal brand around project management. If I didn't have any experience, maybe I should do a video or episode on that. If I didn't have any experience, the first thing I'll start doing is I would create a podcast. If I didn't have any experience, the first thing I would do is create a blog post. I would start engaging with other project managers and I would find, again, you know what I'm going to say, mentorship. Why am I saying all these things? Because it brings experience. First of all, it brings exposure to yourself. And second of all, it forces you to hone your craft. I mean, it forces you to start learning things that, let's be honest, when you are doing something for a while as being a project manager, there are certain things that you forget about. That's why you'll see people that may go and take the PMP or the CAPM or ACP, and they're doing this day in and day out, but they don't use all of the standards or the artifacts. And so they may forget about it because each organization is different. So imagine if you are creating a personal brand and you're talking about those artifacts, you're talking about certain aspects of project management and theories and how to, what are the 49 processes and et cetera. It would really help help you grow as a project manager, even if you don't have experience. So my professional insight, consider developing a signature framework, which you're paying attention and listening to now, and methodologies based on your experience, even if you don't have it, which can become a cornerstone for your professional brand. And make a commitment. Say, hey, I'm actually on LinkedIn. I mean, you can find me on LinkedIn, Edward Koch Jr. You can find me there. Posting articles. You see, I'm always doing presentations. And of course, my favorite thing is delivering these episodes to you. So if you're thinking about getting into this thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with called project management, think about developing your professional brand. And it's going to help you with the next point is point number four, being comfortable while being uncomfortable. You know, when you get a project, everybody knows way more than you do. I don't care. And if this is a true project, and we know the definition is unique. If this is a unique, they know way more than you do from a technical standpoint, from a non-technical standpoint. All you have is the framework of project management, and you have to start understanding the details as you go along. So not every detail will be clear from the start, and that's fine. But I struggled with that because I'm one of those people that I need to, over time I've developed this, is that I need to know the why behind the reason why we're doing this. And when, as a project manager, you don't get any of that. Yes, you get a project charter, but the project charter is extracted from the business case. And if you don't ask for the business case, because you didn't know that this was a business case in place, let's just say, and you're building out this project charter, you're like, okay, we're supposed to, and it's very high level, but then you get to the project management planning aspects of things where you get more detail. You really have to count on your team. You have to lean on them until you can get up to speed. This is why I love this profession, is because it's always making you uncomfortable. There's not one, if a project manager gets on there and tells you they're super comfortable leading projects, then they're not leading projects, because every project that I've ever led in the beginning stages has been very uncomfortable because I didn't know what I didn't know until we start navigating through the project. So professional insight, experience will teach you to embrace the ambiguity, make informed assumptions, and then move forward. Waiting for perfect information often leads to project delays. And that's one thing I noticed when I would study other experienced project managers, and you would think like, oh, I'm surprised they can't see this, where they know you're not going to have all the details. They just need to keep moving the project forward, and it's going to eventually come. But if that wasn't happening, you would watch project delays. You would watch how resources will, all of a sudden you start having resource constraints because the assumption is you don't need those resources. Anyway, let's move on to point number 5. Message. You know, anytime I say message, family, this is something you want to pay attention to. This is something you want to stop, listen, and I don't care if you want to drop and roll. If you're driving, just please keep your hands on the wheel. But listen to you, family, seriously. Point number 5, documentation over everything. You know, I always talk about that. The reason why I stress this so much is because I was not doing this properly. Proper documentation can save you when things go wrong. You know, you may assume that, hey, oh yeah, I can trust this person. And like, yeah, we had an agreement and you didn't document the agreement. And then something goes wrong and now you're in front of the executive and they start asking you a ton of questions. And then you look to this person because you're like, there's nothing for me to say here because this stakeholder or this project team member is the one that told us to go this direction and I trusted them. And they'll say, well, no. And then they'll do something. This is what happened to me. The guy said, well, where's your documentation? And I was like, document, what? I was like, we were on a call and you agreed on it. And then the executive was like, okay, Edward, where's the documentation on the agreement? Whether email or do you have a log or when it was happening? And I was like, no, it was just a meeting on this particular day. Sorry to hear that. You guys need to go back and figure this out. And I, you know, that really frustrated me because this person was willing to throw me under the bus to save them. And all I was trying to do was save, you know, watch out and look out for them. So professional insight, you're going to learn that over the years, you'll learn that undocumented decisions or agreements can lead to misunderstanding. One of the biggest components of project management is communication. And I'm making up my own framework, and documentation is the next key thing. And the reason why is because if you don't document every major decision and keep a clear audit trail, it will come back to, as they say, bite you. Point number 6, balance perfectionism over pragmatism. So balancing perfectionism over pragmatism, basically meaning I was trying to be perfect. Yeah, I know. You're like, what? Yeah, I was trying to make everything perfect and making sure, versus pragmatism, which is basically saying reality, real world. So sometimes I can strive for, hey, I really want to have the timelines align perfectly where we're not having to constantly re-baseline. But hey, something may happen where there may be a resource constraint. There may be a quality constraint. There could be so many different constraints that you run into when you're leading projects. So striving for excellence, but recognizing when good enough is sufficient, because sometimes perfectionism can lead to concrete and missed deadlines. So you're going to have to learn how to make informed trade-offs between quality, time, cost, and scope. Mostly it's going to be between quality, time, and scope, because scope is one of those things that you really don't want to touch unless you have to make a change and it makes sense. So one of the methods that I've used in the past, which is, here's my professional insight, is Moscow or Moscow, and it's basically must have, should have, could have, and won't have. This is basically family of prioritizing for features or deliverables. This helps when you're making informed decisions about where to focus your effort and where to really compromise. Point number seven, embrace conflict as a tool for growth. Wow. I remember my first meeting that I had, family. Well, not first meeting. One of the meetings that I had where I witnessed conflict. I'm in a meeting and I'm literally watching these two executives just go at it. And I'm caught off guard because I'm like, what is going on here? Like, this is like, I don't know what's going on. I mean, and they were going back and forth, and then finally they stopped. And I was like, okay, this is the decision we're going with. And they made a decision and walked out, and I'm walking, you know, we had a cafeteria downstairs or whatever. And so I'm walking downstairs, they're eating lunch together. And I looked at them, they looked at me, and I looked at them, they looked at me, and I'm like, when y'all just, and they pulled me aside and said, and this is what I should have known this because I played basketball and I should have known this. And they were saying, listen, Edward, what we did is, I'm gonna share a secret. What we did was we needed to fire the team. So we created that conflict. We had already talked about how we were going to approach it. We did that to fire the team up because we really felt that the team was taking this project for granted. And there was a lot of money tied into this project because of the return on investment. So I was like, what? And, you know, I'm blown away, family. So what I've learned is, you know, sometimes conflict can be exceptionally good. And then sometimes it can be really bad. And you have to be able to distinguish between the two, because conflict in this real world is natural. When it's managed correctly, it can lead to better project outcomes. Here's a professional insight. Early on, you may try to avoid conflict, which I did. However, learning how to mediate and resolve conflicts professionally allows for innovative solutions and a stronger team. I'll be honest, if I'm on a team and we have not had any conflict, I will try and create some because it creates a stronger bond within the team, especially if it's done in a professional manner. I don't let any disrespect happen. I don't allow any name calling. We stick to the facts. And when it gets ugly like that, then that's when I do step in and make sure that either I'll kick them off the call or I'll mute them, one of the two. So conflict really can help bring your team together if it's done in a professional manner. Point number eight, always reassess and improve process. You know, one of the things I told you is I always like asking the why question. I'm always looking for ways to streamline workflows as well as optimize processes. I didn't do that in the beginning when I first got started in project management. I was just going along to get along, and that was not the proper approach, because as a project manager, you have to have the courage to disrupt a workflow or a process that is just not working. And it's not working. We're just doing it because that's what someone else done, or that's how it's always been done. Now I've gotten to the point where that will just irritate me when someone says, oh, well, when I ask them about a process or I challenge them on a process, oh, we've always done it that way. Okay, why? And if they start umming and I don't know, or well, or you know who said, then I'm like, okay, we need to really unpack this and break this down and find out a better way. So professional insight. Don't get stuck in the trap of this is how it's always been done. Experienced project managers consistently and constantly look for inefficiencies and improvement, whether it's communication, technology, or methodologies. All right, family, I'm feeling so good. I hope you don't mind if I over-deliver here. I have three bonuses. So if you stuck around this long, I appreciate you. By the way, family, if you haven't yet, pick up your copy of The Magnetic Project Manager. You can find it at all bookstores, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Again, The Magnetic Project Manager. All right, here's your bonus, family. Don't be afraid to say no. One of the things I had to learn about having the courage and the experience over time is you can't accommodate every request or change, and that's okay. You have to be willing to say no, because if you don't have the ability to say no, and here's the professional insight, and back it up with data and show how it will impact the project, then the project is going to fail most of the time. But you have to make sure that you back it up with data. It can't be anything emotional like, oh, I'm just overwhelmed. Let me show you. So if you want me to take on that extra project, I'm currently sitting at 5 projects. And if I take on this project, these other 2 projects are going to suffer. If you're okay with that, then let's do it. Otherwise, I will have to say no. And there's so many ways professionally, and I just gave you an example of how you can say no. Saying yes to every change leads to scope creep. And most important, and I've watched this in my career and other project managers, they can get burnt out. Here's my next bonus. Learning from project postmortems, or what we call lessons learned. One of the things I should have done when I was coming through this thing called project management is I was so excited to finish a project after the twists and turns that when we finally wrapped up the lessons learned register, I didn't go back and look at it. I was just like, all right, I'm on to the next one. Or sometimes I'm in between three to five projects. So I'm like, well, once that wraps up, now I'm only down to 4 projects. So I'm just continuing. But one of the things that I wish, or I should have said that I always want to use the word regret, so I'll go with wish, that I really took the time to study and understand what went well, what didn't go well, and the biggest question of it all, why? When I started doing that, I started seeing trends in my project that really helped me out. I'll give you an example of a trend, resource constraints. So I would always notice at the beginning of the project, everyone would be fired up, and then all of a sudden, as we get to the planning phase and get more in details, I started seeing my resources slip away. And I was like, why is this happening? Are they getting pulled away? So these are the type of conversations I was able to create. So that's the professional insight. Here's my next bonus. Prioritize stakeholder communication. One of the biggest things, again, I guess I'll add this to my framework as well. So we have communication as part of my framework. We have documentation over conversation. And then I'll have to say stakeholders as well as project team communication. Building relationships with stakeholders from day one, as well as project team members from day one, understanding their needs, concerns, goals will help you make better and better informed decisions. That is something where I learned extremely fast. I learned that it was more important about building these relationships because you need them. They don't really need you. Yes, you are there to serve them. Yes, you're there to help them, keep them on track, to hold them accountable. But the reason why you need them is because they are doing the work. And so since they're doing the work, you have to make sure that you're setting them up for success. No, you're not going to be able to address every concern. No, you're not going to be able to meet all of their needs. But what needs can I meet that are within my control? That is key, family. Here's a professional insight. Early engagement prevents misalignment and mitigates future challenges. Never assume that project team members and stakeholders know what you need without consistent and very transparent communication. Family, here's my transformational remarks. Again, family, I hope you enjoyed today's episode as we're going on and we're closing this out. Documentation over everything. Again, as I shared the story about you with you about how I trusted someone on a decision that was made, but that was all my fault. I should have documented. Undocumented decisions or agreements can lead to misunderstanding. Point number 2. Develop a personal brand. The day I chose project management profession, people always ask me, hey, I'm thinking about switching careers. I don't have project management experience. What would you tell me to do? This is it for you right now. Start a blog, start writing on LinkedIn, create a podcast, create a YouTube channel. All of these things are going to force you to get better at your craft of project management. And so by the time, while most people are just now studying for the CAPM. You've already went through the CAPM book, and it gives you an edge in front of a lot of people, because again, us project managers, sometimes we take for granted that we had to go through that process. So this is why I'm going through this process again, and having to go back through this over again and do this on a consistent basis is helping me understand this craft much better, and it will help you understand your craft. Point number three, prioritize stakeholder communication early, as I stated. Professional insight, early engagement prevents misalignment and mitigates future challenges. Never assume that project team or stakeholders know what is needed without constant and very transparent communication. And the last and final, I think, is one of my favorites, is I would have hired a project manager mentor outside of the organization I was working in, because there is somebody that has already been where you are and where you want to go, and they can offer you more insight off of their experience that you may be faced with when you have to handle any challenges. Well, family, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I go by the name of ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, that simply means Ed. Until next time.